Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We finished up a series on the one things in Scripture, sort of focusing us on the one things, the things that are important and need to be prioritized. And I spoke to the men yesterday, and we discussed Psalm 139, and I then discussed it with Denise and with whoever would discuss it with me, because it's just such a great, great psalm. And so I wanted to share with you tonight, and I have more time tonight for us to dive into this, but there's a thought here at the end that I think will just be beneficial and helpful to you as we apply this particular truth. So let's pray, and then we'll read the first 17 verses of this. Well, I guess we'll read more than that. We'll read 18 verses of this psalm. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we're grateful that we can come back together tonight. We pray that you will help us as we open your word, as we read it. We ask that you would grant us understanding. Thank you for those who have desired to hear tonight your word and to see you and to hear from you. So God, I pray that they would not leave disappointed, that they would not just hear a preacher, but God, they would hear from the Lord. And hearing from the Lord, they will be blessed. So God, we pray that you would do a work and encourage us along the way. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to let you know, Miss Isabel is doing very, very good. Hopefully, they're trying to get her into manna. Of course, all of that rehab stuff is up to the insurance company. So hopefully, they're going to get her into manna for a couple of weeks to try to get her rehabbed and walking and getting that settled. So if you'll just keep her in your prayers. And then Phil is, he's had a couple of episodes, one last night, one today. So if you'll just keep Phil in your prayers, and Gail, I know that they would appreciate that. Verse 1, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Mine eyes did see, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book of all, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, even as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's word, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. The ascription to this psalm reads, to the choir master, a psalm of David. This is a psalm written for the purpose to be sung by the congregation in corporate worship of God. And I think we need more songs like this. This is a song to be sung to God about God. Amen. That's what Christian songs should be, about God, sung to God. This is a song that is full of theology. It declares the perfection of God's attributes. So Psalm 139 is making application of theology. Is theology important? Does theology matter? Yes. Because when we rightly think about theology, when we rightly think about our study of God, it brings us to a place of applying that so that we will be doxological in our behavior, praising God, tracing out what this means, what God's perfection means to us in our life. And this psalm is not only theological, but it is deeply personal. The psalmist is singing about what God knows about him personally. Psalm 139 is called the crown of all psalms. And I didn't understand that to this week. This is the crown of all psalms. It is a great psalm. It gives us a grand view of God, and having a grand view of God gives us a clearer view of ourselves. David saw himself in light of who God is. Seeing God more clearer gives David a clearer vision of himself. So let's walk through these 18 verses, and let's do it under three main headings of thought. Number one, let's examine the extent of God's knowledge. The extent of God's knowledge. What does God know, and how much does he know? Verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest, or thou knowest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. So David examines God through the filter, through the lens of what God knows. We call this God's omniscience. God is an omniscient God. And when we say that God is omniscient, we are saying that God knows everything about everything and everybody. God knows everything about everything and everybody. God knows everything that is known. God knows everything that is unknown. And God knows everything that is potentially knowable. He knows everything. The question for David is not exactly what God knows, but what does God know about him? I think we understand that God knows everything, but have you contemplated the fact that what God knows about you? And what are the implications of God's knowledge of you? God knew David, which means that God knew everything that was good about David, and God knew everything that was bad about David. How well does God know David? Verse 2. God knows, he says, God knows when he sits down and when he stands up. God knows whether David is resting or working. God knows. God knows what David is doing, and God knows what David is thinking. Verse 2 says, you understandeth my thoughts afar off. The idea of from afar off could either refer to space or time. The context seems to reference time. Before you think about what you will do, God already knows. Verse 3. Thou compassest, thou knowest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God is acquainted with all of David's ways. He knows. He knows from the start of your day, through your day, until the end of your day. From the time that you start out your day to the time that you lay down and end your day, God knows it all. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. David says, before a word is even formed on his tongue, God already knows it fully and completely. God knows the words that are going to come out of our tongues while they're still in our hearts and our minds. And I would say this, God knows even before is in your mind and in your heart. God knows the words you think to say and then don't say them. God knows the entire course of our lives. He has surrounded us. He has encircled us. He has hemmed us in so that we cannot ever escape His knowledge of us. And David says, the Lord has placed His sovereign providential hand on each and every one of us. And he comes to this conclusion in verse number 6. Such knowledge, the knowledge that God has of me, the extent of the knowledge that God has of me is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot begin to fathom the knowledge of God of me. Number 2. Not only do we see the extent of God's knowledge of David, which is everything, we see here the explanation for God's knowledge. Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? So one explanation for the extent of God's knowledge of David is this. God knows because God is fully present everywhere. God knows everything because God is present everywhere. He is never late, He is never tardy, He is never absent, no matter where you are. No matter where you are, God is there. God is there in every direction. Verse number 8, if I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Death, hell, and the grave are not escape routes from God's presence or God's knowledge. God is there and God reigns over life and death and eternity. Verse 9 and 10. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I go as far east or west as possible, God is there. Whatever direction you take, north, south, east, or west, wherever you go, God is there. He knows everything about you because He's always with you. He is everywhere that you are. And what is He doing? David says He is leading you and He is guiding you. God is not only everywhere you are, but He's personally involved in you being there. Verse 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Two extremes that emphasize God's presence with us, day and night, darkness and light, are the same to God. He sees you equally as well at night as He does during the day. He is present with you in both the darkness and the light. And can I say something? He will not lose you in the darkness. Say amen. Then God knows you not only because He is always present with you. He knows you because He made you. He created you. And He knows you because you're His. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Reins here, the word reins is the soul or the spirit. God has created the soul and the body. He says here, you have covered or you have knitted me together in my mother's womb. Verse 15 says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Listen, David was not an accident, he was not a mistake, and he was not unwanted. God, the God of the universe, orchestrated David's conception and then orchestrated his development in the entire process of birth. Verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." When David was nothing but an embryo, God saw his unformed substance. Do you know what David is saying? Before there was ever a David to know, God knew David. Before there was a David to know, God knew David. And David says that every day of his life was already recorded before there was a first day. Do you understand that? Before you were born, before you came into this life, onto this earth, before you had day one, all of your days, your entire life, are recorded by God. When we say God knows everything, we mean God knows everything. He knows you perfectly in the present. He knows you perfectly in the future. He knows you perfectly in your past. And He knows everything fully, completely, exhaustively, and perfectly. He knows everything about you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows it all. He knows every thought. He knows every deed. He knows every word. He knows every motive. He knows it all. There are things that I did in a time of my life when I was ignorant, stupid. I would never tell you those things because it would affect how you view me. But God knows every one of them. So that brings me to my third point, which is the expression to God's knowledge. I told the men yesterday that there is a sense, and I want you to hear me out here, there is a sense, when you think about this, there is a sense in which the success of every relationship that you have, and I have, hinges upon, to some extent, what the other person does not know about us. In other words, our relationships are only as successful as we are successful in hiding certain things about ourselves. What do I mean by that? How many friends do you think you would have if all your friends knew every thought you've ever thought? Every desire that you've ever desired. Every motive that has driven whatever you have done or whatever you haven't done. What if you were an open book and your friends knew exactly what you thought regardless of what you say? How many friends do you think you would have?
None.
None. You have friends because you hide those things, right? You don't tell everybody what the evil thoughts that are going in your mind. There is one relationship that is not based on what is hidden. There is one relationship that is based on what is open and known. Are you with me so far? Jesus Christ comes and dies for us. And he did not come to die for good people. He came to die for sinners. And he came to die for you, knowing every thought that you've thought, every thought that you will think, every sin that you have committed, every sin that you will commit, every rebellious act that you have done, every rebellious act that you will do. Jesus Christ came to die for you, warts and all. And he knew every wart. He knew every fault. He knew every failure. He knows you better than you know yourself. And God knows the good and the bad about us. And yet God still loves us. If you knew everything about me, you would not love me. If I knew everything about you, I would not love you. But God knows everything about you. And he does love you. And I would remind you that there is nothing new that God can learn about you. He knows it all. Therefore, there's nothing that God could learn about you tonight or tomorrow that would change his love for you. Do you understand that? There's nothing that God is going to learn, period. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And there's nothing he's going to learn about you that's going to change his love for you. And nothing he will learn about you will change his commitment to you. God knows you perfectly. And that's not a good thing. And still loves you. You are fully known, completely known, nothing hidden, nothing concealed, and yet God still loves you with that perfect knowledge. And if you're sitting there tonight thinking, why wouldn't he? Boy, you're missing it. Verse 17, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Do you see the blessedness of this? Is this affecting you the same way it's affecting me? God knows every sinful deed that you have committed, every sinful thought that you've had, every sinful motive that has moved you. He knows the places that you have gone in your mind. He knows the things that you work hard to conceal from everyone else. He knows what we do under the cloak of darkness and secrecy. And still he thinks of you. We live in a cancel society. When you make one mistake, you're canceled. People walk away from you. God knows every bad and evil thing about you. And he says, I not only don't walk away, but I continually have thoughts for you. Your badness, your sinfulness, your evilness that God knows perfectly and completely does not deter him from you in the least. In fact, David says that whatever evil thing he may do today, and can I say this? Every single one of us are capable of doing awful, sinful things. We're all capable of having awful, sinful thoughts. But no matter what evil thing that David does, no matter what evil thing that I do today, however hard I may fall today, no matter how far I fall short of God's glory today, David says this, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I still will be with God. There is no worry at all that God will ever leave him or forsake him. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to walk away. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to stop loving you. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to cancel you. Nothing. I can't tell you how many times I have laid my head on my pillow at night thinking that I am the biggest failure God has. That I have just failed him that day to a horrific degree. And yet, as I go to bed as a utter failure, I wake up in the morning and God is still there. When he has every reason to be done with me, he has every reason to divorce me, he has every reason to walk out on me because I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. But when I wake up, I'm still with God. He hasn't left. He hasn't canceled. He hasn't stopped loving me. Nothing you do will cause God not to be there when you wake up. Nothing. Because God already knows it all. And he still loves you. And Jesus died for you while you were yet a sinner. And David concludes that this God, this kind of God, this God with this perfect knowledge of him and still loves him and sticks with him, is a God that you can go to with absolute confidence and share your heart with in prayer to. And this God is a God that you can stand and confidently offer your praise to. If you can't praise God because he knows you and still loves you, I don't know what you're going to praise God for. Because it is the most remarkable thing in the world. Everyone else may leave you. But God will never leave you.
Amen.
The fact that God never learns anything, the fact that God has absolute knowledge of you, is the reason why you should talk to Him in prayer, and it is the reason why you should make much of Him in praise and worship. How many of you have sinned today? How many of you have sinned multiple times today? And how many have sinned the same sin for the 100th time? And yet, tomorrow morning, when you wake up, God will still be there. And you will still be with God. Remarkable. Remarkable. Knowing what He knows about me. Let's pray.